The Jimmy Doan Show is recorded without a live audience.
All right. This is
part 2.
Part 2, yes.
We're back.
We're back. We decided to have a little break there so you could maybe. Yeah. Right. That's right. Was that, now wait a minute, was that going up your nose or up your
Take your pick.
Take your pick. That's right. No, you can towel off maybe.
Right.
When your workout. Get ready for the second half of your workout.
Yeah.
No, so this is
those crazy legs.
That's right. You're bumping. We're going to talk about it bumping up today. Yeah, so this is the 10th. This is the second half of November 10th. And again, we're still here with Curtis.
Hey.
Our barrister, Curtis. And the engineer, Eric.
The embarrassment.
Yeah. The embarrassment, Curtis. That's right.
They sound so similar.
It's all that. And engineer. No. Engineer Eric, who does the mixes on this and makes it all responsive. Did want to say, by the way, which I forgot to say in the first half, to hello to some of our repeat people.
Some of our repeat visitors?
Yeah, we actually have people that come back to the show.
No.
Yeah, it's...
Who is it?
We can check.
Who is it?
Who is it? We don't know. Probably, I'm guessing one of them's Gene.
Hey, Gene.
Hey, Gene. Because we keep getting somebody pops up from Colorado. And then we get, we have a repeat from Manchester.
Manchester, England?
No. No, actually.
Nueva York?
No, it's near New. It's Nueva, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
And also hello to my dear friend, Kara, in Alabama.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a repeat also. So anyway, that's fine. So we get some, and we want to make sure that you tell your friends. Again, we want to reach I'm reading a book called The Tipping Point. Which, if we can get a certain number of people to listen to our little thing here, we actually
they can
might
send us tips.
Well, actually, if we can do that ourselves, as long as we have the obligatory 1 million people downloading our podcast.
Right.
Okay, we're not quite there yet.
So you're talking about tipping the scales.
Yes, that's exactly. The tipping point has to do with when a particular, how can I say this, something that is happening suddenly explodes and is happening.
It's when it passes the curve.
It passes, well, or the tipping point, as
right.
They say.
Critical mass.
That's exactly
point.
Right.
If you turn that curve around so that the tip is at the top, then that's the tipping point.
I hope that is an atom bomb. It should be an atom bomb because that's right. It is when you have enough nucleons, whatever it is, going into the center of the
nucleons.
Okay, and you have a.
I don't know whatever I'd do with that myself without the job of the nucleon plant.
Yeah, and then you have a nuclear explosion.
That's right.
It's nuclear.
Nuclear, Lisa.
So that's the tipping point. Anyway, so we're waiting for that, and we don't have it quite yet, but we will find out what happens when our exponentially, suddenly, our number of listeners will go off the scale. Okay, enough of that. So we want to talk about the oil companies. And yesterday was the Spanish Inquisition. They called up, I think, 6 or 7 of the oil company executives. One of the guys who is extremely articulate is the guy from ExxonMobil. I forget what his name is, but he's really good. He was also on, before he went up and got pilloried, In front of the idiots, Durbin is probably one of the worst offenders and Dornan. Now, maybe people start with D. He's from North Dakota.
The devil.
The devil. That's right.
They both get D's on.
That's
their
right.
Like
that's right. Darth.
D
from
people.
Darth.
That's right.
Darth. They have no clue about the way the market works. So this fellow was on Charlie Rose, and he explained his way, but I don't think he's a CEO, he's a scientist. Turns out he has a chemical engineering degree, and that he came up through the ranks at ExxonMobil. But in my mind, I would have said some other things. I would have had a slightly different perspective. He was right on the money. He talked about the market. He talked about capitalism. He talked about investment, what you do with investment dollars. He mentioned, for instance, that when a couple of years ago, when barrels of oil went down to $10 and gasoline, I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, certainly anybody listening to this podcast remembers when gas was 99 cents in recent memory, mm-hmm. 99 cents a gallon. And nobody was complaining then when these companies were not making big profits but were still investing more than their profits. The shareholder should have been complaining bitterly at that point. Of course, when you realize that you're making $10 billion worth of profits and investing $15 billion in new exploration and new technologies and so forth, the shareholders might have wanted to complain. But now that they see the money on the table, this Durbin and Dornan are two of the big offenders. They see the money on the table, and they want to, and they figure that somehow they're entitled to it.
Well, the socialists see it both ways. They literally, when the chips are down for the oil companies, they're all pushing for subsidies and payments and tax cuts. And when the chips are up, they want we want it back. It's like, look, just leave it alone. It equals itself out, and you get your profits. You get your taxes.
You save all this money by not having to go through all this crud.
Well, the brokerage fees and so forth, and that's what the guy from on Charlie Rose said. He said Charlie asked him, "What would be your ideal situation?" He says, "Just leave us alone." They talked about the multi-billion in this latest highway bill, which was the pork from hell. We talked about the Bridge to Nowhere, which is the signature. Piece of pork for the whole thing, even though it might not be the worst.
Be the Bill's logo.
Well, exactly. They ought to have a bridge. They ought to have a bridge with nothing on either end. that would be the logo for this
on the
bill.
Front page.
Yeah, on the front
bill.
Page. It's just a suspension bridge with nothing on either end, and underneath it says $220 million of your dollars. That's right.
Victory.
That's right. Victory. That's right. And they of course. Justified every with Ted Stevens and so on. We talked about that, but the and in that bill there was some pork, I guess.
$12 billion was the number I heard tossed out in terms.
I heard somewhere low on the low end of $20 billion, but yeah, 15, depending on what you consider a subsidy or a break or not. There's some variables, and they probably won't know until the stuff gets all sorted out as to how much of a particular item accrues to the oil companies or something else. Doesn't really matter. Whatever the number is, it was multi-billions. And now there, as the guy from Esso said, just leave us alone.
Well, and not only that, but he did make a good point, too. He goes, we're paying, you know, all this tax money that you're getting off of our profits, too.
That's right. They do
50%
pay
taxes or whatever.
Well, whatever. The corporate taxes are like 35 or 40%.
Right.
So they're paying that.
They're getting half the money anyway.
That's right. They're getting it
not
anyway.
Not good enough.
Not good enough. That's right. I-N-E. It's never enough. E-N-E. It's never enough. That's exactly right. But it is so obviously on its face political grandstanding. I mean, let me put it this way. There's only two things that could happen. Either they are being totally dishonest with themselves in that they have no morals and they're politically grandstanding in order to stay elected, and they know what they're saying, but they're doing it anyway because they're Machiavellian whores.
Or
they're so stupid that they honestly believe that... that they honestly believe what they're saying. I mean, either way, let me put it this way. They shouldn't have been elected. But again, that's what politicians do. They lie to their constituents. And so they're up there. The guy, especially the guy from South Dakota, was saying, well, we're coming into the wintertime, and what are you going to do about our heating oil? That's right.
Don't you know? We're going to be freezing like our gonads up here, don't you know?
I like your solution. You know, send them a sweater.
Send them a sweater, or I march across the border to Canada. Get your oil over there. Canada's not going to let you freeze. Maybe not. Maybe so. Of course, I don't know what the immigration laws are in Canada either. I think they're pretty light.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be South Saskatchewan. They could annex North Dakota. And if we could have a little something taken out, and they could just go to Canada.
Right.
That's right. That'd be fine. No, it's but again, they're such Machiavellian whores. It's unbelievable. I don't know. I was thinking of having a dream before I went to sleep last night. If I was a Exxon or a Chevron or something CEO, one of those guys that went up there, what would I say to those guys? And it's, you go through the whole thing, and of course you realize these are senators, and so there's 100 of them, most exclusive club, you know, debating society, whatever you want to call it, and you just want to stand up there and say, " That too.
Oops.
Oops.
It slipped.
Yeah, it's. Oh, the safety was off. Oh, that's what that red light means.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. No, got in here with that. That's right. Met, avoided the metal. No, I wanted to be like Dixie Carter, you know, and have you completely lost your mind? They. I wanted to just say to them. I'm not sure I would have gone. Of course, they weren't put under oath.
Yeah.
Their big complaint about that. Oh, they weren't put under oath. They might not tell the truth. Really? You think somebody might like? And I look around the room and I think, who in this room, if I was to pick out a liar? Let me think here. I wonder who.
535 of you guys. Yeah,
that's right.
Whatever.
That's right. I wonder who would I pick out to be a liar?
You had to pick somebody who was going to lie.
Your life depended on
that's
it.
That's right. That's right. If you know, of all these, if you were, as I remember one time, somebody, I was reading a P.J. O'Rourke book, and it said, if you were on death row or if you were getting, you know, getting ready to go to trial, and you had to pick one of these guys to be your defense attorney, and you picked one of these guys. Hello, lethal injection. That's it. No, that's so. The point is that those guys don't have a leg to stand on, yet they grandstand. It is. They are so arrogant and so full of themselves, and I guess they must be a product of the government-run school system. To think that they would even get away with. If they know what they're saying, they must think their constituency are so stupid that they believe them.
Now, they believe themselves. They believe that they're doing the right thing. And they believe that property, if there's too much of it over here, belongs to somebody else.
And, of course, too much is up.
What's up to them?
It's I know it when I see it.
That's it.
That's right. The old, yes, I know it when I see it. That's been legitimized.
I've heard that on the news several times recently, that little saying.
Yeah, I know it when I see it.
Well, there's been a little shakeup in the political landscape in the last... over this last election day?
Okay. I don't... There have been... Of course, there was New Jersey Corleone, or whatever it is. He was elected. He was governor. And then, of course, the Democratic governor of Virginia. Big deal. That was no big deal. But the others
I
were...
Notice the Democratic governor of Virginia, the Republican candidate, got a little visit from Bush to try to boost his numbers in the last day.
Yeah.
They said it backfired.
Yeah, you think? Yeah.
I know. That's all right, man. That's okay. You can stay home.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they had the political landscape. Were you talking about Arnold?
Well, that too. Arnold's initiative. Somebody
flushed. Somebody pumped it down. I don't know what happened,
Arnold.
But we pumped this down. We pumped it. We lost all this. I don't know what happened.
It must have been an antimatter pumping gym or something.
I don't know. We lost this pumping business. Oh, yeah. Everything he wanted went down in flames.
No, I mean, absolutely. In other words, California's, in my opinion, they absolutely, well, at least the ones that, I guess, vote, are the one, they really want a socialist state.
Yeah, well.
Well, there were a couple of conservative measures that were voted down as well. Apparently, they voted down everything.
Right.
So, I mean, some liberal measures were voted down as well.
Oh, okay.
So they did vote down pretty much everything out
They
there.
Just went down and, yeah. And
no, so no, change.
No.
Right.
Well, yeah, maybe so. I mean, Arnold's stuff was mostly about public employee union power.
And, of course, they nailed him. The public unions, the teachers union and the public service employees, what do they call the people that sweep the Capitol and those people there, those people are on the union. They're the only unions only can make it anymore in the public sector, what we call the public sector, the government sector. They're losing. They've lost membership across the board in the private sector.
Well, Arnold's measures were, again, they were all designed to be able to reduce the size of government.
Right.
And reduce the workforce of government.
Well,
employees.
At the very least, one of the major proposals was the ability to redraw some of the districts out
right.
there.
That was a huge
That one. Was a big deal. Yeah. And that got soundly defeated.
Right.
Right.
So they had the incumbency rule in California. And, of course, he's fighting against what amounts to Democratic. You know, these guys are cast in stone.
The legislature,
yeah. They have a guaranteed, I mean, they have 99% retention rate or something like that. And everybody's in a safe district. And, of course, they get to do whatever they want to do. And then they have a nice fat pension when they...
So what do you think Arnold's going to do? Do you think he's going to...
I don't know. They said...
He'll be back.
Yes. he should be. Knowing Arnold, he probably will be. They did say that this did not bode well for his second term election prospects. Right. That this he got this was a
he's probably down a little bit because of the Bush unpopularity as well. I think he'll bounce back pretty well.
Well, the other thing that Arnold has to contend with is that California really is two states. It should be divided.
Right.
The northern and the south are just they are really radically different, and we should have 51 states, and that would be S California and N California. So always
get out the old.
Well, I would.
Cut that sucker right now.
That's right. Yeah. Now, they would have... Well, we have... it would be interesting because S California would be the northern part. That's socialist California.
Right, right.
And
well,
then,
actually...
And N California would be the southern part because that's normal.
Well, and of course, Mother Nature might divide it for us.
That's... Well, the problem is that it's going to divide it lengthways, yeah. More than likely.
It's going to do the Lex Luthor initiative.
That's right.
Create Otisburg.
That is one of the funniest movies I have. That is...
Otisburg. It's a little tiny place, Mr. Luthor. Otisburg. I can take it off.
Well, of course, one of my I have to record this. We have to get the line. The greatest line I love in that is the gum wrapper line that we've talked about before.
Right. And that's, we restate it now, I guess.
Okay. EJ is coming in. Yay! When the show is over.
My timing is impeccable.
Yeah, he's almost here for light notes.
Okay, good. The gum wrapper says there are those.
He's got everybody's got to go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The gum wrapper. Some people can read
War and Peace.
War and Peace. And think of it as a simple love story. And other people can read a gum wrapper and divine the secrets of the universe.
That's right.
Lex, what has chewing gum got to do with the secrets of the universe? So there was some more people got chucked out of office. All of the 8 Republicans.
Oh, God, yes.
That
were proponents
of intelligent design.
These were the intelligent Republicans? That were the intelligent Republican that said we want to have intelligent... That now, for those of you who don't know, intelligent design is a code word for what? That's for biblical...
The antithesis of evolution.
Creationism.
Creationism, okay, right.
Which means that God
has been here before everything.
Well, it's more than that. It's that Darwin's theory doesn't account for the evolution.
Right.
I don't understand why they don't just assume that evolution is the intelligent design.
I agree with you on that. That is why I don't see that there's a... I don't see the dichotomy.
Yeah.
It seems to me a perfect example, perfect parallel. I mean, one of the things that I've learned, of course, is that we're all part of a plan. We can't know the plan. We're not that smart. We're only 3-dimensional creatures, 4-dimensional if you count the forward movement of time, which pisses me off. The temporal universe moves unilaterally, and I don't like that. I wish we could, fly around backwards 3 times on the Earth. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Superman. Okay.
Well, it is amazing because what you just said, the question is that we have mutations, and mutations create different species. And we have a fossil record of this.
Well, the problem that you've got with creationism...
And we have dominant genes and recessive genes. And the thing is, whether or not...
It all seems to make sense.
Well, whether or not Gould is creating the mutations, or they happen randomly, okay, well, whatever.
Who are you to say?
Well, I'm just saying that's
no,
the point.
When I say you, I meant who are these Republicans?
Right, right. In other words...
But there were 2 things let me interrupt here to make a point, if I can.
Okay. A pointless point.
They did make sure that everybody knew that the 8 of the 9 on the school board that were thrown off were Republicans, and because they were the 9th was not up for election. Apparently, they had and they made sure that you understood that the wise, the noble replacements were all Democrats that were going to basically throw over the intelligent design, whatever it is, and make sure that they got back to Darwin evolution.
This was in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, right. Now, this is not to talk about.
Kansas,
of course, which is something else entirely. But let me just finish up on this I think where the problem was is that once you put the creationism into science, into verifiable,
all bets are off.
Well, because one of the little minor problems you have with creationism is there's several different brands. I mean, the simple fact is when you light up oxygen and hydrogen, you're pretty much going to get water. I mean, I don't care where you are, you're pretty much going to get water. I mean, a million times out of a million, you're going to get water.
Yeah.
The problem with the creationism thing is that there's a lot of different aspects to this, and you're not necessarily, you know, you...
It's, yeah, I wonder if they want to teach the Muslim version of the creation.
Well, how about the the Earth was created exactly 6,628 years ago and 14 days and 6 hours? I mean, we
well, and obviously you can actually change water into wine if you're certain individuals.
Again, the you brought up a good valid point. The problem that they've got is that what brand of science, pretty much as far as chemistry is concerned, and a lot of biology. Is pretty much
universal.
Well, because you can prove it every single time.
Well, it's like they don't
it's not like you can say we're going to do this experiment and see if it changes this time.
Well, that's what you do, this. And it doesn't change. Like, that's the whole point. A scientific method is counting. It's just counting.
Yeah,
you just do
and
the
it's
experiment.
A method.
Then it's a method.
It's something we can actually use and grow from and share and have repeatable experiments and gain knowledge and
repeatable.
Improve our world.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me? Mm-hmm. That a seance is not a repeatable event.
It's repeatable.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're not going to get the same results.
Oh, you'll definitely get the same results. Nothing will happen.
No. Aunt Mary will appear instead of Uncle Bob. I mean, no, of course, but are you telling me
that's Uncle Bob in drag, okay? As I said, nothing...
It depends on who's doing the seance.
Oh, right.
But there's...
You didn't have a good psychic, man. Was she licensed?
That's true. Well, without a license, you can't count on who's going to show up. That's the thing. You know, that's the one nice thing about having a license if you're a seance person,
right.
Is at least you know you're going to a legitimate licensed and bonded seance person. Because if anything goes wrong, I want to be able to sue.
Right?
That's it, exactly right. That's the good thing. Okay, so the anyway, in Kansas, they are the school board was a countywide thing in Pennsylvania. Of course, it got booted out. That was the school district or whatever. Now, in Kansas, what is the deal in Kansas? The entire state is decided to what? They're all intelligent design people out there, or what? Is that?
I didn't see.
Okay. Apparently, the cartoons that I saw.
It says the standard approved Tuesday by the Board of Education cast doubt on Darwinism and redefined the word science. So that it's not limited to the search for natural explanations of phenomena.
Oh my God! We redefine science.
That's
okay.
True.
That's it.
The word itself. Yep.
That's it. We're gonna read. That's like rewriting history.
Okay. That's true.
Oh, redefine the word. And we decided to have it include non-science.
That's right.
That's what they said. No, that's exactly what they said. We've redefined science to include. Not science.
That's
okay.
Right. Science and anything that wouldn't be science.
That's right. So it's, oh my gosh. Well, that's
that's the problem.
Well, that's science. That's science for you.
Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore.
No. They're not even where near.
They're not in Kansas.
No.
So, and those are the intelligent people, of course, that are designing the intelligence.
Yeah,
that is always, I've always wondered who appointed these people to be the intelligent. Here in Gainesville, we have the Women for Wise Growth. And I'm wondering if, in order to be a member of that, do you have to be wise?
They have an independent wise panel of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they
still growing.
Self-selected.
Right.
Yeah. You hold your hand up and say I'm wise. Mm-hmm. I went down yesterday to speak in front of the city commission. And I got it on tape, by the way. I have it on TV.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I was actually down there. I didn't realize how bad I looked. I'll tell you that. Woo. The point is that some of the people that spoke to the county commission, excuse me. Were almost literate, and so you know they have the procedure that they go through, and this particular thing they want to do, they figure is going to take to a year, and I figured it should be done on the back of an envelope in about 30 seconds. They're doing a feasibility study on spending some money.
Mm-hmm. Here, I got that for you. While you've been talking about it, I've worked it out.
Yeah. Yes,
I'm going to pass it up here.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it was literally if you could sit down and on a napkin and a pencil, you could have figured this out. And yet they're going to hire a consultant for something like $50,000.
It's really just one word. It says infeasible.
Yeah, that's right. Infeasible.
I can tell you the answer right now. No.
Yeah. I mean,
the check.
But they said they thanked me very much for my kind participation and then voted it all in.
Asked you to leave.
No, they didn't. They didn't. They said, no, it was really nice.
Really? So they said, thank you for your input, but it doesn't really matter. We've already decided. Don't confuse us with
and
facts.
Then, no, actually, what they did, they were nice enough to say, we actually haven't decided. And they have. Yeah.
But they haven't decided, but they voted.
Well, they haven't decided. They voted to vote, actually, is what they did. They voted to they voted to have a vote.
Right.
This is what they do. This is what procedures do. We voted to hear more about it is what they did. We voted to take this under consideration. And then we're going to vote again. This is what procedure is all about. They worship, as we said before, they worship at the altar of procedure. And only
let's not kick procedure while it's down.
You say that, but I mean, coincidentally and arbitrarily, some success may show up.
You know, you got heard. They didn't call for the sergeant at arms or anything.
No, they didn't. Well, I dashed in and dashed out. I'll tell you that. I was watching them on TV, and I thought that I fool that I was. I said, you know, by the time I get down there, they're about 10 minutes away. By the time I get down there, this discussion will be over. And then I thought, oh, you fool! Of course,
it's been a half hour since they started.
Yeah, I mean, this is the government talking. They're going to jibber jabber on for at least. So I got down there, and they were still. It was like a soap opera. I mean, they had gone on three more episodes, and nothing had changed. So I waltzed right in there, and then I got done. I waltzed right out, and then I came home and found out they talked about me afterwards.
Busted, because they were on camera.
That's right. Well, they were on camera, and it was. But I didn't. In other words, after I had my say, I basically said, thank you so much and walked out of the room. And then I
came back here and watched what
well, I actually, or? I hadn't. What happened, they ran it again, and I happened to catch it this morning at about 2 o'clock when they were running it again, and I taped it, so.
So we got a few light notes here.
Okay,
huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I got one more heavy note.
Okay, heavy note.
Well, Bush signs bill regulating tinted contacts.
Oh, there's a heavy note.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
This is
people who use colored contact lenses will now have to get them from eye care professionals under a bill that President Bush signed into law Wednesday. The new, of course, law gives the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, authority to regulate cosmetic and novelty contact lenses, even if the products do not correct poor vision. And so you're going to have to go see your eye care professionals, get fitted for the lenses, be instructed on their use and care, and all this stuff. And they're saying that...
And it's a federal law.
It's
now.
A federal law. And, okay. And I know. And because the optometrists, you know, union probably, have warned that misuse of sharing of contact lenses can lead to infectious abrasions, allergic reaction, or blindness.
Blindness? What, if you poke your eye out?
Well, you know...
No, sharing contact.
The thing that I have to say about this, and I understand... That there might be some cause for concern, but the fact of the matter is that there's a billion and a half products that you can go out there that can lead to infections, abrasions, allergic reaction, and if you drink antifreeze, blindness. So, you know, I mean...
Well, there's a lot of things you can put in your eye that'll cause blindness.
That'll cause blindness. So, in other
and,
words...
And contacts usually are low on that list.
Yeah, I mean, seriously,
can
it's
you
like,
imagine if you go into a store... This is the market. You go into a store and you stumble out blind... I mean, how many people are going to go back in that store? I mean, it wouldn't take long for that store to be out of business. Number one.
They've been selling this stuff on beach stores and stuff, and now the FDA.
Flea markets and convenience stores and beach
shops. It makes sense that the Food and Drug Administration would regulate this, right?
Yeah, right, because it's a food. No, well, the thing...
it's food for the eyes.
That's right. Well, I would think, though, that the eye doctor people would be all for this, because if they do get infections and everything, they can make big money on that. I mean, you know, if somebody comes in getting ready to go blind because of one of these things, that's a $2,000, $3,000 bill. Instead of a lousy $50... or $100 charge to prescribe this thing. You know, you can be looking at a $2,000-$3,000. You can be busy for the rest of your life. Hope that these guys buy them with sand all over.
Right.
The only way I can think of they decided that you'd go blind is because they themselves have been using them and they're completely blind at this point.
That could be. That's right. They could.
And they know just how toxic.
And they waved their white canes at you and said,
"Yeah,
where are you? Come back here so I can smack you."
That's right.
I got a light.
Let me check your eyes.
No, we've talked about this. The fact that everything is becoming federalized and you can't vote with your feet anymore without going out of the country and learning another language. It's just terrible. Go ahead.
I got a light note here. There was a guy who spent $241,000 at a strip club.
Yeah!
He's getting sued by Amex.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yes, that's right. It was Amex's money.
Yep.
No. He's getting sued because he refused to pay?
Yeah.
He was, said he was drunk and what didn't count or what?
Yeah. I hope he got laid because he got screwed.
He got screwed one way or the other.
Yeah. They actually made him sign a waiver in the strip bar.
Yeah, they went through it routinely after every $1,000 that he checked out.
They made him sign a new one or whatever.
What do you call the cash?
Freaking dancy dollars.
Bucks.
Flashy cash.
Flashy cash.
Yeah.
What is this? Are these like markers in Las Vegas that you sign for?
They give you money that's all really. It looks like Las Vegas kind of money. It's paper money, or maybe they use chips. I don't know. But in Club One in Orlando, they gave you this classy cash. It's called classy cash. And it was this really cool-looking money. I've even got one. They stopped doing it now. But you could charge the money on your Amex or whatever, and then they'd give you a bunch of this classy cash that you could use for your
tips.
Tipping. Exactly. And it's good enough the girls can turn it in for real money.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you a question. So this guy got $240,000 on his black Amex card, or right. I guess it was one of the really good ones. Mm-hmm. And or a bad one in this case. And so he got $240,000. And like you say, he had to sign and everything like that. And then when he got the bill.
It was a company. He tried to pull it off his company funds.
Is that right?
Yes. That's what I heard. Okay.
That's what I read. It was
He
was a CEO.
Like a company trip. Yeah, he's a big CEO or something
like that.
It was
for business.
Yeah, it was entertainment. Yeah, and he was trying to write it off. And the company started to raise hell out. And then I think he decided that he was not going to pay it or something like that. And. So who knows?
He's going to lose his card.
They probably said that.
Yeah, I think he's going to lose more than his card.
Well, no, $240,000. I mean, he's a big CEO guy.
Yeah.
Write him a check. But he was definitely... I would think that the club in that particular case might have some small... I don't care what they make you sign.
It was Scores in New York.
Well, that's what apparently Amex has already been to them and was satisfied that they took all the necessary precautions.
Yeah, you can't.
Fingerprinting.
No, it's not a question of who it is. Let me ask you this. What I would like to do if I was the defense attorney on this, I would like to go in there and find out how many other people came in and spent $240,000 and paid it.
Right. Probably zero.
I'm thinking zero. I'm thinking that this has got to be
a one-night thing?
Yeah. Okay. One night. And paying $180,000 of it was in like $10,000 tips to the individual girls.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
there are 18 really healthy girls that night.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, man. Well, I would think, however, that you can say what you want. Even in New York, is got to be beyond the pale. I can't imagine that the girl would walk out of there and say, 10, it could have been 20, it's a lousy, last night we got 20,000, and that night the guy's only doing, another guy's here's doing, I mean, it's not like they went 240,000 a night, guys, in there. I mean, this is probably so unusual that I would have certainly cut him off. I don't care who you are. I don't care.
Well, yeah, the club probably.
So, I mean, you can say that they went through all of the particulars of this.
The
bullshit.
Voluntary exchange.
Yeah, bullshit.
So they're going to have a trial about it, I guess, or something? Or
They'll probably sue him about it. It's a little civil trial.
Okay. So we'll see what happens. We'll have to update you guys.
Yeah, no, I would like to know, because you're right. One thing, I'm a big bug on contract law. I mean, I think that the guy probably should pay it. But I'll tell you this much. I don't hold much for the club that would let that happen. That knowing, I mean, they've got to know. I just, unless
the guy's super rich and he's got the cash.
Well, that's one thing. And or if guys regularly come in there,
right.
if every night, if he was only one of three people that night that was blowing a half.
Well, even one, if there was three guys in the year that did that. I mean, if you had some chic walk in there.
Okay, that does happen. It has happened.
No, I know, but I'm saying
180 grand has happened in that club before, so it's not like it's never happened to that club and those girls.
I'd say more than once, but you're right. I mean, the fact is that you're right. But
yeah,
also,
you're
going to
discriminate with me. You certainly don't want to piss the guy off.
You would. I would. I mean, I hate to say this, but I would.
Well, the girls are working for it. You know, they're wearing his man's juice.
Yeah, okay.
10 grand is 10, fair.
Yeah, it's fair price. That's what they get down here at the Club Risque. Yeah, you can bet they get 10 grand.
Man, those girls will clean your house fully nude for 20, 30 bucks.
I know.
The day shift girls, man, they don't make anything.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to follow up and find out sort of what happened. But as you say, unless it's a fairly normal, and you're right about this, if it happened 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 times in the past, so that they weren't totally. But I also say one other thing, and that is if the guy had been drinking a lot. I would think that you'd be able to get off on that.
For 240 grand, I hope he had something to drink. I mean, champagne, bottles
of buzz,
man. Good God, Man, I'm 240 grand, I'm still not drunk. You think they walk down the booze here?
That is a day would.
No.
I would say that there's very little likelihood that he's going to get off, that he should pay it, but I still would. I'd be pissed at the club.
Well, you'd think that what the club would do was not give the girls the 10 grand that night.
Right.
So that they weren't out the 180 grand.
Right.
And they would say, look, if this all pans out, we'll pay you.
Right.
But we may have to settle out of court for a mere 30 or something, and you guys get a grand.
That's right. Now, you're right. That would have been the responsible thing to do. But again, we're talking about New York. Okay, go ahead.
Strip club.
And a strip club.
right. Talking about New York, a strip club in New York.
But we are, you know, it's upscale. I mean,
it's a good strip club.
I got two more things if you guys want. Did you see this one? This is kind of cool. Teen go-getter ousts mayor in Michigan.
What?
Teen go-getter ousts mayor in Michigan. In other words, this guy, Michael Sessions, he's too young to drink champagne legally to celebrate, but the 18-year-old high school senior has reason to celebrate. He unofficially won a race for mayor Tuesday by defeating the baby boomer incumbent.
Really?
The 18-year-old won the mayor?
Yep.
And so do we know how much the mayorship pays and what he has to do and how big's the town and how many votes?
He got 732 votes compared with 688 for Mayor Doug Ingalls.
Okay, well, that's about the same size then as right up the town here. That's about the same. They don't vote that many in
the ceremony is set for November 21st, just swearing in. He may be the youngest mayor in the USA, which I'm not sure he would be. Let's see. At least two other teens have been elected in mayors in recent years. They're a tad older. Well, of course, I don't know how much be a tad. Maybe by a year, huh?
Yeah.
But anyway, he was 1 month shy of 19 when he was... this other guy was 1 month shy of 19. So I guess, yeah, he was 18 when he got in. The other guy. Anyway, that's the...
Does it pay? And how big is...
The mayor who gets a $250 monthly stipend... $250 monthly stipend...
Yeah.
Cast one of nine votes in the city's council.
There you go. That's not bad.
The job comes with no office, no chair, no filing cabinet, not even a drawer. So this guy is going to... actually, Ingalls, the guy who... He runs a roller skating rink, says he's not upset by his loss. It's an honor to serve. Because he served for 10 years. So this guy is moving on in, and he said he's going to use his... he's going to devote after-school hours to the job and use his bedroom as his office.
After-school
hours. Now, wait a minute. How old is he? He's 18.
Yeah. 18, right. Okay. Senior. Senior in high school.
Yeah.
So senior in high school. He was held back a year.
So 250. Now, when I think about the voting, I don't know what the voting percentage is up there and how big the town is, but that's about how many people vote up here in, like in Archer, for instance. That's about what the votes look like. I know over here in Hawthorne.
This is a town of about 9,000.
Okay, 9,000.
It's Hillsdale, Michigan.
Okay, 9,000. Now, that's interesting because that's a town. I mean, That's bigger than Micanopy. That's about, I think, I'm guessing that's the size of Archer.
Yeah.
So it's a real town.
It's a real town.
And those people, I think the people in Archer get money.
There'll be some people going to those city commission meetings, probably.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
You know, go for it.
Go for him.
Yeah, man. We have to send him a congratulatory email from the Jimmy Doan Show.
Hey, that's
Michael
a good idea.
Sessions. Yeah. And I have another one. Boeing Jet attempts world record commercial flight.
Oh, the 777?
Yeah, it took off from Hong Kong in a bid for the longest ever commercial flight, 23 hours. Gosh, imagine. To flying to London over east over North America.
What are those toilets going to look like when they get there? Man, I
But think. I mean, just I mean, it's just amazing to think about a jet this size staying aloft for 23 hours.
We're going to experience some turbulence for the next 22 hours.
Man.
Well, was it a full flight or did they just
Oh no,
no
it was
35 people there.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Okay,
like
just enough to
They said that the one cabin was big enough to play a basketball game in.
Yep.
Now this is the 777.
Yeah, that's right.
This is their.
It's gonna eventually. Well, it'll carry. It can carry 301 passengers and 17 tons of cargo, up to 17,450 kilometers. So that's
10 or 12,000 miles.
Yeah, that's a pretty good distance, though.
Yeah.
And
roll it.
Let's see. I had one other thing. Oh, and it was interesting here. They said people used to say flying 10 hours was too long, but the truth is, no one would fly halfway if you could fly direct, which I understand. So anyway.
Oh, sorry. What did that mean?
It just means that I guess one of the things that they were talking about is this new jet is capable of doing some really long flights nonstop rather than break it up. And they were saying that part of the critics were saying, well, nobody's going to ever want to fly that distance. And they said, well, you know what? They will unless you. It's better than stopping. I mean, that if you have to stop somewhere, it's going to be even longer for your total journey. So let's blow off.
Some
you
people
know.
Like the break, but a lot of people like to keep flying, man.
Yeah, I know that.
Exactly.
But I'm
all for that.
I agree with you up to a point. I can tell you one thing, that the people that are going to cause problems on those flights are going to be the smokers.
Yeah,
you,
well, that's probably
I mean,
true.
You know, it's a 22-hour flight, and you have a couple of puffs before you get on that plane. Yeah.
You know, they had a smoking section in the Hindenburg.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. Yeah, no, I know.
That's, but I guess that was a mistake, huh?
No, that isn't what
I know. I'm just easy.
But that's they're going to go 12,500 miles, which is, you know, halfway
around the
world.
Shoot, if they double that, they can take a nonstop flight around the world.
And you can get right back to where you
and
want you
before they left. Because if they go from
well, actually, you can. No, no.
Oh yeah, if you get right on the international primer
dateline, whatever it is, sure. The and of course, some wag is going to be saying, "Well, I wonder what the next plane is that can fly further than 12,500 miles." Boy, that'd be cool. Why?
Well, then you just keep going around and around, and you keep going back in time.
Yeah. I saw it happen. Superman did it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that, and that was real.
Okay, that's all I got.
Superman did was real.
I think that is it.
You got anything there, John Stonificus?
Well, I'm sure you all talked about the crazy things going on all over the world.
Yep.
I'm sorry that I missed it.
International.
Yeah, we had that was the first segment.
Yeah. So you talked about the new napalm that we're dropping on Fallujah.
No, I heard that was a myth, though.
A myth. Yeah, we don't do that.
Again, nobody really know. There seems to be some doubt one way or the other.
Really? Oh well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, really, that's it.
Okay.
I got to go, too.
Yeah, we got to go. There, that's great. Okay, thank you so much for the Jimmy Doan Show. Thank you, EJ. Thank you, Kurt, for a little late.
Sorry I'm late, but
that's okay.
I love you, America.
Love you, America. Thank you, Curtis. Have a good time on your vacation.
You going to Lost Wages, Nevada?
Lost Wages. Yeah. And Eric?
You know what I do is play those nickel slots, man.
I can understand the slot machine. It sounds like a bunch of people learning how to play piano in the same room. Yeah, kills.
But they still have nickel slots?
They do in Atlantic City.
If you go to the right casinos out there, they have a smaller and smaller games. You can each get penny slots out there.
When I went out there, penny slots were a big deal. Actually, you could do penny slots, but now I know they went away. What's a penny worth?
We have a peso slot, man.
Yeah, that's right. I would imagine you. They got slot machines now. They have slot machines to take paper money, right?
Oh yeah, they all do. That's
they have slot machines.
$100 bill, no problem.
Oh, I love it.
$100 bill, no problem.
Don't forget to tell your friends and neighbors to listen to the Jimmy Doan Show, and also write us email at jimmy@jimmydoan.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have any complaints, we don't want to hear from you. If you have praise and salutations and money, we do want to hear from you. So we'll see you next time, and hopefully I don't know if we're going to have one this Sunday or not, because Menzu's going to be back here. We'll see.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Cheers.